Hello, it's another Moments for Moms, and the topic today is forgiveness. I'm sure that there has been a time in your life when you felt that you just couldn't forgive. Part of it may be that you never could forget. But I'm hoping that we can talk a little bit today about what forgiveness really means, what forgiveness reflects, and how to get past the past. The first thing that was interesting to me was to think about how many times I have had to display forgiveness in my home because I watched my children with bitterness and resentment towards each other. So I had to lead by example. One of the things that I have noticed is that my children watch me, and if I hold on to a grudge and raise an eyebrow towards someone who has hurt me in the past, they notice. So the communal aspect of forgiveness is something that we all need to work on, especially for us moms, as we deal with our children and may struggle in forgiving our own husband or in-laws. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us," or our debtors. So that means that if we're asking Jesus to forgive us, we need to be forgiving women. Are you? I know it's not easy, but there is something that would make us understand that if we understand that we have been forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus alone, we are compelled to forgive others. In Matthew 18, there's a story that Jesus told about an unmerciful servant. And in this story, the king had someone like a prime minister who had incurred an enormous debt, perhaps billions of dollars. Whether he was crooked or careless, we don't know. But he went to the king and he threw himself down and said, "Please have mercy on me." And it says the king did three things. He took pity on him, he canceled the debt, and he let him go. Shortly thereafter, the servant came upon another man who had owed him a small debt, certainly by comparison, very small. And the man fell on his knees and said the exact same words, "Please forgive me, please have mercy on me." And it said that the man took him by the throat and had no mercy and threw him in jail until he could repay him. When the king heard about this, he said, "You have not appreciated what I've done for you, so you're going to be thrown into the dungeon." Now, that story doesn't have a happy ending, but it is there to tell us something. If we truly understand the magnitude of the debt we owe, we're going to be able to forgive those little debts that other people may bring to us. If you think about it, how much has God forgiven us from? Depending upon how much of a sinner we see ourselves to be, the gratitude that we have can be very small. If I get a message from somebody that says, "I have canceled your debt," and that's just signed with nothing, then I might wonder what debt has been canceled. If it's a major debt, like the mortgage of the home or something, I would be very grateful. But if they just canceled my debt for overdue postage, it really wouldn't mean that much to me. Similarly, if we know God and we see what Jesus has done for us, if we see it as something small, then we see our sin as a trifle. But if we see how deeply flawed we are and how even after being loved by Him, we take Him for granted and want to go our own way, it makes us grieve and we want to become forgivers because He's forgiven us. Miroslav Volf is a professor at Yale. He's from Croatia, and experienced firsthand the cruelty of societal battles in his homeland. And he's written many books, and although he's way over my head, I can take him in small doses. And one of the things I remember him saying is the only way that we can remain angry and refuse to forgive is if we believe I'm not that bad, I'm not much of a sinner, and if we believe that the other person is not human. You see, if we can look at a person and dehumanize them by making them into a caricature, So much so that all we see is they are the liar. They are the irresponsible one. And on the other side of that is the assumption that I'm not a liar. I would never lie. Or I am always responsible. You see, what you're doing is that you're focusing all the guilt on them, and then you're presuming, I would never do that. You're feeling superior, and you're making them be one-dimensional. You know that when you lie, you have reasons for lying. So do they. So we go back to the instruction of the story. Taking pity on someone is having your heart go out to them. The only way we're going to be able to forgive is if we stop feeling superior and if we can identify with them. You know, I've done that too. The next step is canceling the debt. If you came to my house and you picked up one of my vases and you threw it on the ground, or if you came into my house and brushed up against a vase and knocked it on the ground, and then you said, Kim, will you forgive me? Canceling the debt would be saying, no, you don't have to pay for it. I will. It's not so much that I can say, I forgive you, and it's over, because there is a debt incurred. The vase is broken. Either they will pay for it, or I will. So in forgiving, there is a cost. So either I would live without the vase, which would cost me, or I would pay the amount to replace it. When a person slanders you, or when a person says things about you that cost you a job or your reputation, there is a debt that's incurred. And the natural tendency is to badmouth them, to snub them, to tell other people about how poorly you've been mistreated. And that's trying to get them to pay, to stick it to them, to keep charging them for what they incurred. But when you forgive, you take no payment from them and you refuse to do that. Another illustration is this. When we've been wronged, it's like we have a file cabinet in our head. And there's a file of all the things that have been done wrong to us. But when we refuse to exact payment out of the person who's wronged us, we refuse to take those files out of the cabinet. Even though it would feel so good to turn it over in your head and to think how you've been mistrusted, but you refuse to do it. You say, I will not think about that. I am no better than that person. I am forgiving them. And it takes a lot of time. And it costs a lot of emotional energy to do it. But the longer you do it, the easier it is to forgive them. You start realizing that it's an act of your will first, but the feelings start coming as you put this discipline into place. And finally, the last thing is you let them go. There are some times that you literally have to let people go because it's a bad situation. And there may be some addiction or abuse involved. But letting a person go means that you entrust them to God. And you don't have to be hovering, and you don't have to be keeping a notepad wondering when they're going to fail again. So, are you a forgiving person? Have you been able to let go of the pain of something that's happened to you? I hope that this is encouraging to you, because forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel. Because we have been forgiven, God commands that we forgive.